Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
This one's for all the meat eaters out there. Two stews that will stick to your bones and make your house smell amazing. One uses beef or bison, and the other, rabbit. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
Less than 3 years after a contaminated milk scandal shook the nation, Chinese officials have recently detained 96 people on suspicion of selling milk powder tainted with the toxin melamine. Of the 96 people detained, two were sentenced to life in prison. Melamine is an industrial chemical used to make plastics. Because melamine reveals the same nitrogen levels as protein under testing, individuals at China's largest milk powder company, Sanlu, deliberately added melamine to milk powder so that it showed an artificially higher protein content. Opponents of bisphenol A, or BPA, were victorious in a recent legal decision. Philips Electronics Corporation North America will be barred from using BPA in their Avent brand baby bottles and sippy cups for 4 years. While the settlement puts a bow tie on the case against Philips, charges remain pending against the six other defendants, including Gerber and Playtex. A nationwide ban on the chemical in baby bottles was scrapped from the Food Safety Modernization Bill in November. And a law firm in Alabama claims that Taco Bell's taco meat can't legally be advertised as beef. The legal complaint states that rather than beef, these food items are actually made with a substance known as taco meat filling. The current lawsuit is just one of many regarding Taco Bell's standard of food. In November 2006, 22 customers in three New Jersey restaurants were sickened by E. coli, and in August 2010, at least 155 people in 21 states became ill from salmonella-contaminated food. Get more news updates like this all week long by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
Before we get a simmering on our first stew, we need to address the meat of the issue, the rabbit. Raising rabbits for food is starting to take off on farms and in backyards alike. And it makes total sense. Rabbits are healthier, leaner, and a lot friendlier to the environment than most animals. According to Slow Food USA, rabbits can produce 6 pounds of meat on the same amount of feed and water it takes a cow to produce just 1 pound. And for urban farmers, they make a lot more sense than chickens. Rabbits are quieter, less smelly, and they're easier to slaughter. Earth Eats spoke with Joel Salatin, a farmer and food activist who raises rabbits, among other things, on his farm, Polyface Farm, in Swope, Virginia. Polyface Farm was featured in Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, and you might recognize Salatin from the documentary Food, Inc. He says rabbit has a lot to offer.
Rabbit is a very dense, it's the most dense protein. In fact, historically, that's one reason why the biggest purchaser, buyer of rabbit in our country has been the military for military rations, because the protein is so dense, you don't have to eat very much to feel full. But culturally around the world, I mean, Italy, France, the British, rabbit is extremely common and a real delicacy in all those cultures.
You can listen to my complete interview with Joel Salatin on the Earth Eats website, eartheats.org. And thanks to chefs like Earth Eats chef Daniel Orr, rabbit is beginning to appear on more and more restaurant menus all over the United States.
We get rabbit from northern Indiana, Gunthorpe Farms, and it's a lot like chicken. You know, a lot of people say that about everything.
Like it
tastes like chicken. But the domestic rabbit is very mild, so you can use it just like you would do chicken in stews and sautés and fry it and all that kind of stuff. But it's particularly good in stews.
When you have a sudden guest or you're in an awful hurry, may I say, here's a way to make a rabbit stew in no time.
When you buy rabbit, you normally get the whole rabbit. It's probably about a foot long. It's got some really nice muscular hind legs, which, you know, would be used for jumping. And then you have some smaller little legs up front, which I call rabbit wings. And then in the center, is the loin. So that's the long, narrow body. And there's some really nice meat along the two sides of the backbones, which is probably the most prized meat. If you would go to a fancy restaurant, that would be the part they would sell. They would probably debone it and then, you know, stuff it with some wild mushrooms and foie gras, and then wrap it up in some bacon or kalfat, roast it off, and then slice it, and you have a beautiful kind of marble-looking presentation. And then what you want to do is to always make the most use out of your carcass. You can make a stock just like you would make a chicken stock. Just cut it up, roast it, top it with some water, some of those nice root vegetables we talked about in another program. Chop those up and then boil it for about 3 hours, and you'll have a nice rabbit stock that you can make into a soup, just like you would do a chicken soup. Okay, with the kidneys and the liver, they're great just to sauté. You can dredge them in a little bit of flour, sauté them. I like to leave them a little pink. Or you could, if you buy a bunch of rabbits, like 5 or 6 rabbits, you could make a little pâté out of them. All right, so we're going to get started on our rabbit stew. So we're going to play off using that real lean meat to create a really nice lean dish. What we're going to do is season the rabbit, a little bit of kosher salt and some of our fresh ground pepper. We always use fresh ground pepper at Earth Eats. Put a little bit of olive oil on top and kind of massage that into the meat. Add just a pinch of cayenne as well as some rosemary and a little bit of fresh thyme. The rosemary has that kind of piney aroma. It's great with tomatoes. Thyme is a really nice kind of earthy, citrusy flavor. And then, of course, we love our garlic at Earth Eats. Okay, a little bit of oil in the pan. We've got a nice preheated pan. And I'm going to add the rabbit. One rabbit will feed about 4 people. Okay, we're just going to let that really brown and kind of caramelize on that first side and then turn them over. And you do this whenever you're making any kind of stew. You brown the meat first, and that intensifies the flavor. It seals in some of the moisture of the meat, and it will give your liquid that you add to it a lot more flavor than if you just were to put it over raw rabbit. Then we're going to add our onions. Okay, as those sweat, which is the culinary term for cooking down and becoming tender, we're going to add a little more rosemary and thyme. We just made a little sachet or bundle of thyme. We'll add that. Okay, we're going to deglaze with some white wine. I'm going to add a little sweetness by adding a touch of honey. I've got some whole peeled tomatoes. I'm just going to coarsely break them up with my hand. Be careful because they will squirt up on you, and don't wear your best white blouse.
He says to the woman holding the microphone wearing a white shirt.
I've done it enough times. I cook in white every day, so.
That's true.
I'm going to add a little bit of salt and pepper, and then we're going to cover it and let it simmer for minimum 45 minutes, but it's even better after about an hour, hour and a half.
We did sample this after it had stewed for a long, long time, and it was really great. Chef Orr served it with some sautéed greens and sautéed polenta. See photos on the website, eartheats.org. For the next stew, our meat is a beef brisket. You want to use one of the tougher cuts, like this one, because you're going to be cooking it for hours.
So, we've got these nice big hunks of meat. You want them about an inch, and a half inch to an inch cubes. I'm going to season this. I've got some of my au poivre blend, which is a mixture of 5 peppercorns, fennel seeds, and coriander seeds. But you could use just cracked black pepper or spices that you like. I'm going to season this with a little bit of salt. Okay, and what that's going to do is it's going to start bringing the moisture to the surface of the meat. And then we're going to toss it in the flour. And this is going to enrobe the beef, and it's going to give it a really nice color when we sear it. Also, the flour, as it cooks, it's going to thicken the liquids that we add later. And that's what's going to give your stew that nice, rich viscosity. Okay, we have a little bit of oil. Okay, I'm just adding this. You can hear it sizzling. This would be almost like making a bœuf bourguignon, which is a classic French beef stew that Julia Child was very famous for. I think she had like a 4-page recipe for it.
That's right.
Shake it around a little bit. We don't want anything to burn. We're also letting that flour cook, which you don't want to have a real kind of pasty tasting stew, which if you just threw some white flour in there, what we're doing is we're actually making a roux. and it's equal parts of flour and fat, usually butter. But we're making that just in the pan with this, using the meat fats, the olive oil that I put in there, and the flour that we rolled the meat in. You want to get that nice, what they call in French, a fond, and that's what the brown color is giving you. It's giving you that kind of rich, nutty, toasty flavor that you want. And give it the time. This is one of the most important parts of making a stew, is this browning and this caramelization. Okay, once we have the meat all nicely caramelized, we're going to add our nice big chunky onions.
We got the carrots.
Okay, we've got some nice big chunky carrots. Again, rustic cut. And you can use whatever you have. You could use all different kinds of root vegetables, celery root, parsnip, turnips would be great in here. I'm going to put a couple orange peels in there. It's going to give it a kind of a unique flavor. And you do want to salt your stew at the beginning because you want that salt to be absorbed into the meat. Okay, I'm going to throw in a couple bay leaves and, of course, some whole cloves of garlic.
Your favorite.
Okay, now we're going to add some red wine. Okay, and we're going to cook this until the red wine evaporates. And then we're just going to top it with a little bit of water, just so everything kind of bobs in there like they're treading water. And then stew it until it's tender, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Through the magic of radio, we fast forward. It's got a nice thick consistency to it.
Nice, and you see the big chunks of beef in there, the potatoes, which we added in the last half an hour cooking. And the onions and everything, it's all kind of melted down to a nice sauce. All right, so we're going to take some buttered noodles, whatever you have. You could use spaghetti or egg noodles. Okay, we're going to dish out some of that nice chunky stew. Okay, we're just going to top that with a little bit of really coarsely peasant-style cut parsley.
And you can serve 4 or 5 really hungry folks with this. It makes about 1.5 gallons of stew. See a slideshow of the prep process for this dish on our Flickr page. Add your foodie photos while you're at it. From eartheats.org, scroll down to the bottom right and click Add Your Photos.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.